Welcome to Parents' Perspective. See you later, Mom, Joey called as the screen door banged behind him. Wait a minute, Ellen came running to the doorway. What about dinner? Don't worry, I'll pick up something, came a voice from down the sidewalk. Just then the phone rang. Sorry for the delay, hon, her husband Stan intoned at the other end. Just got out of a meeting, but I'm on my way. Don't rush, sighed Ellen. Joey's off to his job and we'll miss dinner again. Stan replied. Maybe this job business was not such a great idea. These days we hardly see him. I know, Ellen grimaced. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Joey said he wanted some responsibility, but now...
Maybe, Stan said ruefully. We could just have had him walk the dog.
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about teens who work? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest, who has visited with us before, has dealt with many teens in all different kinds of circumstances. Dr. Neil Bernstein is a practicing clinical psychologist, lecturer, and author. He's a nationally recognized expert who has spent over 25 years guiding teenagers and their families through difficult times. Dr. Bernstein speaks frequently around the country to groups of parents, school counselors, and mental health professionals. He also serves on the advisory board of the Partnership for a Drug-Free America. Dr. Bernstein's books include How to Keep Your Teenager Out of Trouble and What to Do If You Can't, and Treating the Unmanageable Adolescent. Dr. Bernstein's the father of a 23-year-old son and a 21-year-old daughter. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Bernstein.
Nice to be here.
What advice would you give to parents whose teenager wants to go out and get a job?
I think we need to start by thinking long and hard about why they want a job and what the effects of that job will be on them. In addition, we have to ask ourselves, how old is our kid? 15, 16, 17, 14? And factor all that into the decision, because a job is not for everyone. It can be a wonderful thing, and it can also be a detriment to kids' school performance. Mm-hmm. So we really need to think about that and talk to our kids about it after we've given it some thought.
What are the reasons that teens want to work that you've heard?
Well, they vary from wonderful to terrible. Let's start with the wonderful reasons. I'd like to be more independent, and I'd like to be away from the home more and do something productive. I'd like to have some money of my own that I've earned and that I have the freedom to spend as I choose. I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. And I want to do something else with my time. In some cases, there's something interesting that I'd like to be doing. And this is sort of an entree into doing that before I graduate high school or go to college, if that's the case. And we'll talk more about that later. And unfortunately, the one illicit motive that I have to share with you, and I don't wish this on any of your listeners, but that is when a teen wants extra money for drugs or alcohol or something like that, and is actually going to earn money for that purpose.
That's a lot of advanced planning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, some of these kids are very devious. Fortunate that's only 5% or less of the population, probably less. But nonetheless, parents need to be mindful of their young people's motives when they do this kind of thing. Because, as I said, they range from altruistic to devious.
Can parents always know the motives?
Well, the more in touch we are with what our kids are up to, the more cognizant we are of their motives. And that gets into basic parenting, which is know your child, provide adequate supervision, tune in, learn what's going on out there, those kind of things.
What if the family's dependent in some way on money a kid might bring in?
Well, that's a very different issue, and it certainly isn't as prevalent as it was a generation or two ago, but it's still alive and well. And I think when the youngster's contribution is really important to the family's financial existence, subsistence, and sometimes for the child's education. They need to earn money toward their education if they want to pursue college. Then we need to make compromises and we need to weigh the pros and cons of how much they can work and how much money they need and all that, and how it bears on the youngster's high school grades and how it bears on their future. So everything is kind of a relative issue. We need to look at these things in terms of costs and gains, if you will.
Are there optimal kinds of jobs for teenagers?
Well, ideally, an optimal job would help a young person to learn something, to do something instructive and meaningful, and to make money while they are either building character, learning a skill, making a positive contribution, doing something other than money as a means in and of itself.
It's interesting. One of the things I learned from my succession of summer jobs when I was a teenager is I wanted to be sure I got an education because I didn't want to be stuck in the kind of jobs I was in the summer for a whole year.
And that's certainly a factor because some of these kids who do just called grunt work, if you will, working in a kitchen of McDonald's or something like that, do learn that there's more to life than that. And, you know, it seems fairly glamorous to kids who aren't working to make $5-6 an hour. But once you realize how far that goes, it can be a real eye-opener.
One of my kids who thought he wanted to be a veterinarian worked for a vet during the summer and part-time during the school year. And he had the worst jobs you would ever imagine. Somebody had to do them. He liked it. He didn't mind going 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. He liked working with the animals. But he knew he didn't want to do that level of work forever.
Yeah, but he had a broader goal in sight. Mm-hmm. And that no doubt kept him going.
Probably right.
Are there certain kinds of jobs that you would recommend for teens?
Well, in an ideal world, we'd have intriguing, meaningful jobs for all kids. Unfortunately, the reality is the majority of teenagers wind up doing grunt work early on. Stock boy, working in a fast food place, waitressing, doing this, doing that. And some of life's lessons aren't learned through that. I think they certainly learn that money doesn't come easy. We need to work hard to get it. But it doesn't really teach you empathy or compassion or get you in touch with the plight of others and what's going on in the world. And that's not necessarily a negative. It's just to say that a lot of the jobs are not ideal for young people. And as we all know, at this time of year, the number of young people looking for jobs so greatly outweighs the availability of jobs that a lot of kids will take anything they can get.
My parents made me take typing. I remember at the time, of course, we didn't have computers, but they made me in high school, as soon as it was offered, learn to type. And I also learned to take shorthand, which we don't use anymore, I don't think. But those skills got me a government summer job, an actual government-level job that also taught me I didn't want that kind of job necessarily. But it was a wonderful summer job. It paid well. I met very, very interesting people where I worked. So sometimes whatever kind of skills your child has or might develop can be a tool to
use. That's a possibility. If your kid is fortunate enough to get that, pat yourself on the back. But it's not always the case.
No.
And again, it really comes down to what is the incentive in getting a job? What does a kid hope to get from it? And as parents, how can we look at our kids in terms of what's useful to them and when do we say yes and when do we say no? It's a fascinating area you guys are opening up.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on working teens.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Neil Bernstein about working teens.
What about jobs that don't pay money?
Well, this whole thing about volunteer work and community service is potentially a very, very powerful avenue to expose kids to those less fortunate than themselves, to do something meaningful, and this sounds hideous to say, but it's true, to pad their resumes for college, which is not an uncommon motive these days. But a lot of kids become more empathic toward other people when they do volunteer work or community service. Think a young man who's working in a nursing home or a soup kitchen or a Head Start program. You know, they're really seeing the other side of life, and it's touching a chord in them that resonates, and it's planting the seeds for empathy. I think that's really important. Obviously, if you can get paid to do that kind of work, that's fantastic. Some kids need money and can't do that kind of work. Some kids do it as a part of school. Some kids volunteer after school. I think we need to look at all of that. What's most useful to a young person? What's going to fit the needs of the individual?
Is there a difference whether a kid works during the school year or just during vacation?
the first thing that comes to my mind is the burden placed on the child. I think different kids have different capacities to be efficient with their schoolwork. And if your youngster is one of those who can be efficient and get things done, by all means, he or she should get a job. But I'm very fond of saying, and it's true of teenagers, but it's also true of adults, if you have 4 hours to get a job done, it'll take you 4 hours. And if you have 2 hours, it'll take you 2 hours. If your teenager is one of those kids who is responsive to that kind of principle, he or she will be fine. But if they're not, if they're a dawdler and they avoid and they get absorbed online, which many of the kids do, it may not work for them. And we need to talk to them about this, sit down and look at all these factors with them. Now, keep in mind, teenagers are notorious for hating to sit down and talk. What's your hurry? Just tell me, yes or no. Can I do it, Mom? Come on. No, we'd like to talk about it a while before you, oh, all right, and they'll sit down. Then you can discuss and explore the pros and cons. Teens tend to be impatient. They don't think things through. That's our role as parents, to be the voice of reason.
It's interesting. My mother used to have a saying, and that was, if you need an answer this minute, the answer's no.
That's a good one.
Now's your chance to advise a teen, Dr. Bernstein. If you've got a teenager who's trying to decide whether or not he or she should get a job, what kind of advice do you give?
Well, first I ask them to think about how having a job would impact on their life. Where are the hours going to come from? Whether it's 10, 15 hours, 20 hours, and I guess we can talk a little bit about what's appropriate, Charlie. Mm-hmm. But they have to think about what they're going to have to sacrifice to do that. If they feel that they have the spare time and they're not terribly involved in other things, it can be wonderful. If it's going to overwhelm them and the bow's going to break, then it can certainly be problematic. And they have to think that through. They have to think about, why do they want the money? What are they going to do with the money? What do they hope to accomplish from the job? Because we don't want them to take something and be disappointed because they hadn't thought it through beforehand. And really what we want them to do is ask themselves the important questions. And that's about motivation. That's about capacity to tolerate an increased workload or stress, and exposure. Who will they be around, and what are they going to get from being around those people? Some kids do it because all their friends are doing it. Others do it because they want to get away from their friends. The motives are very multifaceted.
It seems to me I see two possible strains going on that concern me. One of them is very often I've seen kids get a job because they want to pay for their car, and that concerns me a lot.
Again, that's a double-edged sword as well, because on one hand, you know, we may or may not want them to have the car, and they may or may not be ready. On the other hand, it's one of life's lessons that you need to work toward something that you want, and maybe as parents, we'll match the money that you earn if you do that. But there are two parallel issues here. One is the youngster's readiness. The other is the issue of what input and what contribution should they make toward that. Now, we can take that same example that you used and apply that to getting a laptop, something that many kids want, which is a reasonably constructive goal, and maybe it would be a little less threatening to us, but it's the same principle in operation.
Huge responsibility to want to work
toward
that.
It's about responsibility. I think of it as sort of the counter-argument or the antidote to entitlement, something that I'm seeing more and more of these days in today's youth. The best way to counter those feelings of entitlement is to encourage a kid to earn something himself or herself and be a part of it. And a lot of us feel, in my field I certainly do, that kids who have earned something through their own sweat and or tears have learned a much more valuable lesson than someone who's been given something.
We had an interesting experience when my sons were young and we were buying our first computer, and that was a long time ago. We didn't know too many people who had a computer in their home, and we had to call some families that we got names of to find out what they did with it, and the parents all said, well, we don't use it. We don't know how to work it. Our children use it all the time. But our children pooled money of their own to help pay for the computer. Our neighbors, who have one son, were also buying a computer at the same time. This son goes to his parents and says, well, those kids are paying for their computer. I think I should pay for mine, too, which was a really interesting lesson for the parents of this only child. He's grown up to be an absolutely lovely, wonderful young man. For us, it was partially a necessity and partially a learning thing to tell the kids, if you want this in the house, it's a luxury. And in his house, he got a car when he turned 16. It just arrived in the driveway with a bow on it, things like that. But earlier, when he wanted a computer, he had the good sense to say, well, maybe I could earn part of it.
And kudos to him, because yes, it's the rare teenager that will say something like that.
I think so.
The other thing that I wonder about with jobs is they have to replace something, as you were saying. And sometimes they replace extracurricular activities. How do you feel about that?
Well, it depends on what the activities are. It depends on what the function of the job is and what they're going to learn from it and whether or not that will contribute to their future. And the other thing that you made me think of when you mentioned that is 70% of today's youth are college bound, but 30% are not. And that's still a substantially large number, considering we're looking at 35 to 40 million youth in this country who are in that sphere. Now, if a kid is not going to college, it makes very good sense to be interning or apprenticing or working somewhere. If you're going to be a mechanic, if you're going to do this or do that, it's a great idea to be getting exposure. That indeed may be more valuable than any extracurricular activity they can participate in. But it still comes down to a question of balance. We want kids to enjoy their lives, but we also want them to develop a sense of responsibility and compassion for other people, things that I consider to be essential values that we want to inculcate in our youth.
Would you name some of the effects that you've seen when kids have worked?
Well, again, let's vary with some illustrations from best to worst. Your best case scenario is a young person takes a lot of pride in their job. They're earning money. They enjoy what they're doing. They're building relationships. They feel okay about the work. And they may or may not feel that they're making a positive contribution to society. But by the same token, they feel like they're a part of a team. So they're learning a concept of teamwork. They're learning diligence. They're learning independence. They're learning self-discipline. They're learning to manage money. And that's a wonderful thing. The downside of a job, downsides, would be one is when a kid is stressed out, is working too many hours. And by the way, we've not put a number on it, but I want to. The magic number is between 15 and 20. By the time a kid gets to working 20 hours per week, there is a large body of research that demonstrates that it has detrimental effects on schoolwork. There's no question about this now. So it's important that we look at that. We consider how long they work. Now, back to the downside. At worst, a kid could meet a negative peer group who get in trouble and expose him to things or her to things that they might be better off not exposed to. Another downside, it can weaken the motivation for school in their future because they see it as a quick way to make a buck. They can just go on and get another job and not go on for an education, et cetera, et cetera. And there are still a lot of teenagers who don't understand that a college degree is worth $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 more in earning potential at the very least in the long run. And we have to temper that with the effects of work, with the I want it now mentality that some teenagers have.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on working teens.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Neil Bernstein about working teens. I watched cousins of mine insist that their daughter, who's quite a talented actress and singer and dancer, go to college. She wanted to go right out and audition all over the place. She cited the examples of young actresses who have made it when they were 18 instead of waiting till they even went to college. And now she's graduated from college, and she's in California, and she's been in one movie, and she's now being considered for another. And that's fine. She has her college degree she can fall back on at any time. And she learned a lot. She got a lot of training for her field.
It's a nice thing when a kid makes that connection. That's another issue, which is sort of generic, but it's a theme that permeates everything that we're talking about. And that is about who is it that really knows best, the teenager or the parents, when it comes to decisions about education, when it comes to decisions about the job, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, teenagers are notorious for saying, I know everything. You don't know anything. My friends are the ones who know. And we all have to contend with this. And this is why we can't have our kids telling us, well, I know this is what's best. And we have to stop them in the tracks and get them to think more about and realistically assess pros and cons to education, work, all of this. Because it is a question of balance, as I mentioned earlier. And that's our job, to see that that happens, to see that our kids develop the necessary life skills to get them through the world. And teenagers are notorious for not having these life skills and being too impulsive, just jumping into things without sufficient forethought. And that's our job.
It's funny, a very renowned researcher came on our show and talked about the development of the brain and specifically the adolescent brain. And it was mind-boggling to us to hear that the part of the brain, the frontal lobe, which deals with planning and forethought and all that kind of thing, doesn't fully develop until someone is 25.
Yeah.
How's that for a headache?
It's intriguing because Jay Geed's research, the guy who did that, just came out over the last few years, and it's sort of groundbreaking in the sense that they're not finished products. They're still kids in adult bodies, and we have to keep that in mind when we deal with them, especially the propensity to be impulsive and to have poor judgment is very important, and it weighs very heavily on the topic today of helping kids to make good decisions about work and how much and when and where and all of that. And my strong advice to all parents is never abdicate your role as a parent. Just because your kid tells you to. You need to be in charge. You need to monitor actions. Doesn't mean you need to be a control freak. But by the same token, keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on and don't let your kids drop below the radar screen.
I think it's the hardest job any of us have.
Yeah.
One thing we can all keep in mind when we get to that point, which is constantly when you have a teenager, is our children deserve to have parents. They deserve us to be on the job.
Yeah, and parenting is more than just being there. It's being involved.
What suggestions would you make to families of working teens?
First and foremost, I would tell parents to set limits. Because sometimes young people can't do it for themselves. And they need some structure as to what is or isn't an acceptable limit about how much to work and when to work and how many nights a week to work and weekend work and hours and all of that. And sometimes we need to ask them the questions they don't want to be asked, like, what is your supervisor like? Is your supervisor understanding when you have an exam, or do they not care less? Do they care only that the restaurant runs smoothly? I think that the second thing, sort of the subplot, is to make sure that your young person is budgeting his or her time. Knows how to do it. It's an art form, and kids who don't know how to do it get in a lot more difficulty than those who do in the work world. So it behooves us to be mindful of that.
Recently, I heard parents discussing with a 16-year-old what was going to happen to the money he was going to earn, which, of course, I'm sure is not an enormous amount of money. But they told him there are three categories he had to budget for. One would be what spending money he needs. Two would be what is he going to put in the bank? He has to save something every week. And three, he has to put something in an account for charity or donate it every week. And he agreed. Before he accepted the job, he agreed to those categories. I'm not sure how they're supervising it, but I thought it was a good tactic.
I think it's a very noble and altruistic motive on the part of the parents. Unfortunately, not all teenagers will buy into that. The counter argument to that from a teenager would be, it's my money. If I'm making money, I want to be able to decide how to spend my own money. And there's some legitimacy to that if we want them to learn to manage things. So it's a very difficult one to weigh. There are two sides to the issue.
Sure.
Sometimes people want their kids to go ahead and fall on their face in order to know how it is so they don't do it with huge amounts of money or mortgages or something else later.
Yeah. As a parent, sometimes it's really hard to bite our lips and watch our kid makes their mistakes and then bite our lip even harder and not say, see, I told you so, which they hate. It makes their skin crawl.
Well, we are sad to have to draw this to a close, but Dr. Bernstein, before we go, are there any resources that you would suggest for families who want to pursue some of these issues further?
Well, there's an awful lot online these days. In the old days, I could just say one or two resources, Head and Shoulders above all. The reality is there are several thousand out there, and I can't claim to have been into all of those websites. What I can tell any parent is all you need to do now is Google teen jobs, and you will open up a whole world of information to you and can probably meet your specific need for information or whatever else there might be.
Is it a good idea also to talk to the school counselor or a pediatrician or somebody who sort of has seen the generic teenager to give sort of an overview of what to pay attention to?
I think if I had to pick a go-to guy or gal, it would be the guidance counselor because they're the ones who are most cognizant of the balance between schoolwork and the work world. I don't think pediatricians would be quite as tuned into that.
One site that we know about, and I would have a feeling that a number of universities might have information on this, but this one is from the University of Minnesota, www.extension.umn.edu/info is a place that we've heard about.
Well, Dr. Neil Bernstein, you have offered wonderful information and advice, and we are very grateful that you were with us today. So thanks so much for being here.
It's always a pleasure.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Dr. Bernstein's book, How to Keep Your Teenager Out of Trouble and What to Do If You Can't. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 336. Please tell us, if you can, what station you are listening to.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org, where you can tune in anytime to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Drew Chapp. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.